Titus chapter 2, please. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we're going to read a few verses that are not going to be behind us. If you have a Bible, you can open it up. I'm not going to get into any technicalities of language. Versions make choices. Most of the versions will give you all the right ideas. The major versions, there's going to be little differences here and there, and that's going to be normal. All right, let's stand together, please. Last Sunday morning, I spoke on the subject of, well, verse 1 and verse 15. So I want to repeat the ideas. Christianity has three components. Your relationship with God has three components. There's the head, there's the hand, there's the heart. Or sound doctrine, sound living, and sound affections. The way the heart works, the internal man. There is a doctrinal, practical, and relational, emotional element. We talked about that last week. I'm not going to repeat that. By the way, folks, I'm going to work through this passage in a way without doing word for word. Because can I say this? If I tried to go word for word through this passage, you wouldn't hear a single word. So we're going to do topics from the passage. We'll cover everything, but it'll take a while. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." That was the key verse from last week. Otherwise, it's not enough to just preach sound doctrine. You got to deal with sound living, and you have to deal with these matters of the heart, sound affections. Verse 2, he then deals with several groups, five to be exact. I will not read the last group today. He says that the aged men are the older men. Be sober, grave, temperate, or self-controlled, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise. In some ways, he's saying all of those things are true of the older women also. That's the likewise. That they may be in behavior as becometh holiness. That's one word in Greek. But the idea is this, otherwise that they live in the proper way that manifest the sacredness of being a believer. He goes on to say, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. And by the way, the ESV leaves out the word sober. That's wrong. The King James misses the point. That's wrong. It's a verb that means this. Older women are to teach younger women. They're to sober them up. Wake them up. That's the idea. Look at the, you know, that's a fact, by the way. Sober them up. Get their attention. What about? Well, he tells us to love their husbands, to love their children. We're not going to cover verse 5 today, but I'm going to mention it. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Good, obedient, or submissive to their own husbands, not to men in general, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Younger men or young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness. So even for young men, learning the scripture is kind of important. Gravity or seriousness and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. 9 and 10 go with this. We'll cover that down the road. I have at least two or three more sermons on this section. This morning, if you can look behind me, the title of the sermon is what? And? Now, some of you, of course, are much more spiritual than me. We're now going to go to 2 Timothy 2:2 because these things that older women are due to younger women are, by the way, what older men are supposed to do for younger men. There's no difference here. 2 Timothy 2:2, in case you don't know, is Jim Duncan's life verse. And the things Everybody look at me. I can quote it. And the things that thou hast heard of or from me. That's a very special word, a way of expression. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What we're going to talk about is woman to woman, man to man. I don't know if it's a missing ingredient in every church. It's not missing here among some people. It is totally missing among others. So this morning, I'm going to take the word of God and hand it to you, and you will either do it or you will not. But I'm going to try to illustrate it in ways where everybody understands our responsibility as older men towards younger men, older women towards younger women. Seems to be straightforward. Let's pray together, and we will get started this morning. Father, thank you for this time. This is a precious passage. I don't know. Why is it because of cell phones and television and toys and games and silly goose stuff? We have lost this connection. And many people have no connections outside of their Facebook. Lord, we as a church must have these connections. And it seems to be just the way you made the local church and local churches to function. Help me as I share these simple ideas this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Sometime last year, my little sister sent me a packet of pictures. The first picture, there's a bunch of pictures, and by the way, people I didn't know. One of the first pictures that caught my eye was the one you're going to look at now. By the way, it's not a good picture. When I saw that picture, the first thing that strikes Amy and my wife is the first thing that strikes me. That is the best picture of my mother I have ever seen, though the photo's terrible. My mother is the young lady with a big smile. I know all of those people. I grew up with all of those people. In the front is great-grandma Adcock. My mother's behind her. I get confused because two of my uncles, great-uncles, wives had weird names. That's great-aunt Estelle. And her daughter, Diane. Behind that is great-aunt Opal. And my sister, Rita. So that picture was taken 75 years ago. Next to her is my grandmother, and not the youngest child, but the second youngest child, my Uncle Rowland, which is 10 years older than me. He is, he'll be 79 this year. I don't know the name of the cow. I'm sorry. Mom didn't remember either. Now, friends, can I say this? When I hear people talk about being from the country, can I say this? Those are country people. That's what it looked like to grow up on a farm. Now, I'm not going to brag on my family. I'm going to state facts. I was thinking as I was reading this text, who taught my mother? I'm asking you a question. Who taught my mother about life, about marriage, about children, about the Christian life? You say, well, she went to church. Of course she went to church. Well, I'm going to tell you where it started. It didn't start here, but it started in the photo with that woman in the front. I'm a Christian because of my mother. I'm a Baptist because of my mother. Not only, but primarily. But it all comes back to great-grandma Adcock, which comes back to great-great-grandma Adcock, which comes back to great-great-great-grandma Adcock, because she would have known the first descendant in Illinois. She would have gone to church with her. Next picture, Tom. That's a picture in 1958, somewhat later. Great-grandma is on the end, and this is all of the children that were alive at this time. I knew all of them but one. I mean, when I say knew them, I knew them well. Great-grandma, of course, Adcock, she died when I was 17. The next lady is Great-Aunt Ivy. She was born in 1901. I knew her well. And I always thought her and great-grandma were sisters. Didn't know they were daughter and mother. The next one I didn't know. Great Aunt Almy, I didn't know. Great Aunt Opal is right here. Great Aunt Lorraine's the next one. Great Aunt Mary's the next one. My mother's the next one. There's a daughter missing. The youngest daughter was born in 1926. She died. And there's three boys, but there should have been four. One of them died in World War II. The next guy is Uncle Don and Uncle Frank. And Uncle Don's wife was Aunt Esteline, which we'll come back to. Uncle Frank's wife was Etha Pearl. And Uncle Lawrence's wife was Aunt Ruth. All Baptist, all Bible-believing Baptist, all went to Bible-believing Baptist churches. Do you understand that? Where did they learn this from? Go back to the next photo. It's the same photo again. I was thinking to myself, I see dysfunctional mothers. I see dysfunctional husbands. Everyone look at me. I see people so dysfunctional, they don't even know they're dysfunctional. Who teaches them? Well, friends, in the New Testament, it was to be older women teaching and older men teaching younger men. Now, everybody take a breather. There's no pressure this morning. It's not about any of that stuff. Can I say this? There's going to be no meanness this morning except one point, and it will be very direct. But other than that, we're going to be nice because I want to say this. I can name a half a dozen women right now that do this. One of them, can I say people's names in church? One of them is one of my frenemies. Now, Nancy is, and she's such a frenemy, she moved to Belize. The other one's right here. By the way, I appreciate my frenemy. Can I say this? Both Linda's and others have helped Evita. That's what Christian women do. But you actually have to grow up. You can't be living like you're a 14-year-old with all of your angst. Older women are supposed to have something to offer. By the way, I don't like to brag on anybody. Linda Nanga does this too. Judy does this. I shouldn't have started with names. There's quite a few. My wife does this with her circle. My daughter does it with her circle. And then there's women that just show up. I don't know what they're doing. Now you say, what could your mother possibly have learned? How about this? The lady on the right, Aunt Esteline, Uncle Don, her husband died of cancer in 1968, lung cancer, and never smoked. I'm guessing they had conversations about that. I'm listening. By the way, great-grandma's husband was dead. He died in 1945 or 46. I guess they talked about that. My grandmother, for all the ladies here married to a worthless man, my grandfather was not a good person. I'm going to say this. We have women in this room that husbands are either gambling or they're doing something that I call gambling. Can I say this? My grandfather was a gambler, but I never knew it. My grandmother lived with him, had 12 children with him, had a godly home, took all of the kids to church, did all the right things while living with a man, look at me, who gambled farm after farm after farm away. And as a kid, I couldn't understand why they kept moving. Can I say this, friend? Where do you learn stuff from? You learn from people, women to women, man to man. That's a simple truth. I never knew those things because my parents didn't share with children that kind of nonsense. Well, what I want to do this morning is ask a question. What is this woman-to-woman, man-to-man thing? What does it mean? So we'll look at the two verses again. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, that they may, the older women, may teach the young women. And it's not to be sober. They're to sober them up in their teaching. It's, you know, wake them up to love their husbands, to love their children. 2 Timothy 2, 2, of course, has four generations. And the things that thou, Timothy, so Timothy's one of them, has heard of me. Paul is the oldest. Everyone look at me. But the funny part is, he doesn't use the normal word for teaching like here's the Bible, let me teach you. It's alongside kind of teaching. It's the Greek word we get parallel from. It's talking about teaching, but it's not, sit down, I'm going to teach you. It's no, Timothy, you've spent time with me. You've heard me speak. You've heard me speak in churches. You've heard me speak among Christians. You've been around me. So, Timothy, the things you've heard from me, whether directly or kind of being around me, the same. Now we've gone from Paul to Timothy. Commit thou to faithful men. That's the third generation who shall be able to teach others also. You have four generations. Man to man, woman to woman. Number one, simple statement that women teach women. That's the way God ordained. Women teach women. And by the way, by implication, men teach. Can I hear it? Men teach. By the way, men don't teach women. Women don't teach men. We don't play that game. Number two, just to add to this, specifically that older women teach younger women, or that older men teach younger men. I don't believe there's any mixing and matching, except in the, you know, in passing kinds of things. That's fine. By the way, I've learned some things from ladies in churches I've been in. I've had ladies as Sunday school teachers as a boy, as a little bitty kid. My mother was my Sunday school teacher up the chain. I don't have a problem with women talking, teaching, all of that's good. Not as a pastor, not in this kind of a position, but hear me, friend. In general, who's supposed to teach the young ladies in this room? Oh, by the way, look at me. Who's supposed to teach the young ladies how to be a Christian young lady? Who's supposed to teach the young men how to be a Christian young man? I can't hear you. It's the older teach the younger. It's just kind of assumed. For me, it's a very simple thing. It's a very natural thing. And it's very relational, which I like. It's relational, meaning it's not about formal. I have no problem if men and women want to do teaching. We have a ladies' class, usually in the summer, for a while. And I love it when the ladies teach the ladies in a more formal way. But not every lady is gifted in that area. By the way, my mother could take a group of kids when she was young, this size, and have all of them eating out of her hand. You put her up in front of adults, you would just fall apart. We're all gifted, but you talk to my mother, you ask her questions, she could teach. So it's women teach women, men teach men, the older teach the younger. It's simple, it's natural, it's relational, and in this age, it must be what? What? Here's our problem. Everybody look at me. We now live divided lives. Do you notice? You know the number one thing I think about those pictures? We're with those people all the time. That's how I know them. There was, when we did something, it was with this massive group of people. They were all Baptist Christians. I mean, to somebody to bring beer to a family reunion, well, it just wouldn't have been a thought. And praying before a meal? You got to be kidding me. I never went to a family meal that I'm talking about hundreds of people didn't pray before. That comes from the people before. But where do you learn? We don't live in this environment. Can I say this? There are women here that could help lots of young women, but you must be intentional. I'm going to say this. This is not mean. It's Pastor Warren. Do not play the game of thinking you are capable of teaching your daughter everything or your son's everything. You need a whole lot of people invested in this. You say, I can do it in our widow family, and your widow family is going to be weird. Is that clear enough in English? You need to branch out. By the way, I learned this long ago. And I want to say again, we already do this in many ways. We have classes, but I'm not really referring to classes. And I am so grateful for the many women in this room that do it, and some men. And by the way, and there are other males that do nothing. It's time to grow up. It's time to step up. Now, intellectually, thinking, I can teach anybody. You ask me how to change electrical. When I was in St. Louis, Amy, I still hate Amy, my daughter, for this. A light bulb blew out one time. We had a guy in the church. His name was Steve Schmidt. Steve was a wonderful guy. Here's Amy. She sees the light bulb blow out, and she says something like, Jenny, you can probably quote it. Yes. Mr. is like, come on, I can do the light bulb. But can I say this? When I came to this church, I knew my son needed to learn things I couldn't teach. So I had him hang out with Mr. Losey. Mr. Losey could irritate his wife to death and his daughter, but there was reasons for both of those, and Jan deserved all of that irritation, by the way. Hi, Jan. I love Mr. Losey. I tell you what, I could do anything for him to be here. Yes, I loved his work. You know what I love the most? He loved working. And I wanted my son to see. I love working, but I'm not that kind of work. I wanted my son to be around a man that could do things like this and loved it. I still remember he told me one time, he says, Dad, Mr. Losey doesn't even take a break for lunch. I don't think he thought about taking a break for lunch. By the way, he was a phenomenal blessing to my son. Now, I'm going to name names. There are men in this room that have abilities. I told one guy in Sunday school that Just John's name was going to be mentioned. If you have a young man that is incompetent with his hands as I am, he needs to spend time with someone like Just John, who seems to be born fixing things. I seem to be born breaking things. He seems to be born. By the way, that's what men do. If I could reverse this and show you pictures of the men, that's what they did. I still remember seventh grade, Mr. Griesmeyer, the farmer from about a mile and a half away, came over to our farm and said to my dad, I think your son's old enough to work on my farm too, if he wants to. Dad says, do you want to work? And I said, he offered me $2 an hour, which was more than anybody made in those days. And he offered me his wife's cooking, all I could eat for lunch. He had me at the food, to be honest with you. Oh, yes. Oh, I love Mr. Losey. Was he perfect? No. Was he special? Yes. Could he teach a young man how to work? I'm asking you a question. Yes. Unbelievably so. Now, men, I'm doing both sermons because I'm not interested in your religion. I think every older man has an obligation to the younger men in your family and in this room. And it's got to be intentional. Can't be accidental anymore because we're just not around each other enough. You say, what do I know? There's 1,000 things you know. It's good for people to be around it. Even if they never do this, they've still been around it. I got a quote I want you to read. Brennan, sorry, you've already heard it. The distance from the top to the bottom in any field, any endeavor, is always a lot farther when you're on the bottom looking up than when you're on the top. Say, how does that impact me? Cliff, you're an electrical engineer, is that correct? There's young men here going to go to college. Can I say this? They need to have conversations with you about how you do that, how you worked, what you did, how you studied, all of that stuff. Dada, you're a mechanical engineer. Same. By the way, we have way too many men and women doing nothing to give back to people. And we have unbelievable set of skill sets right in this room. By the way, share. Sometimes you can also share how you mess things up. I can do those. There's lots of it. Let's read this again. The distance between the top to the bottom is always a lot further. You know, a young kid is 16, 17, 18, and they're like, how do I get there? And you can picture this in two ways. Get there or you're moving forward. Get there. Makes no difference. The problem is it's always a lot further when you're looking up than when you're looking down. It's like, Cliff, I'm going to say this to you. It's not about you. Sometimes I wonder, why do kids have problems in college? Look at me. College was easy to me. I worked full-time, went to school full-time. If I didn't get at least an A+, I didn't get it. I don't understand people. But problem is, I've been out of college for a long time. And I started realizing some of our young men need some people to pull alongside. But it's not just college, it's life. I know our kids are romantic. They think they're going to walk down the road and bump into Mr. Right or Miss Right, and everything's going to be happy. Why do you think we have a Sunday school class on relationships? We need people sharing. And men, ladies, if you're older and you have grown and learned and can talk one-on-one or one, you know, it doesn't have to be one person, it could be a couple of young people, bring what you have to help. Now I'm going to say it. There's women in this room that can cook. Now there's probably women in this room that cook a lot of McDonald's. Sonia, are you listening, sister? Now, I don't like your husband. You know, he knows that. Bugs me. Not much, anyhow. He's my third favorite in the family, right? Grandma, your brother, and then you. Sonia is one of the best cooks I've ever eaten food from. You know, I talk to girls in my Bible class. I don't think any of them know how to cook. Where are they going to learn cooking from, people? I'm asking you a question. See, I think we think people just kind of grow up, and then we look at the chaos of kids. Older people teach younger people. It's woman to woman, man to man. That's what we do. We don't isolate with our little cell phone, scrolling through Facebook, doing likes and dislikes, or posting conspiracy theories. Amy, I really hate you about this. I saw it on a real news source. We have parents all over America that don't want their kids to get their pictures taken. Because somehow the guy that owns that picture company had some connection distantly, maybe somehow, to Epstein. We're a bunch of nuts, and people read that. And we're not having conversations. We're not talking. We're not discussing. Ladies, if you're an older woman, and I mean by older woman, not your age, an older woman in the faith, you have a lot to offer. Some of it might be your struggles. Don't gossip. Just talk about what you've had to go through. All of that's good. So the distance from the top to the bottom is always a lot further when you're looking up than when you're looking down. You're older, but those young people need you to help them to figure out how to get up there in every piece of life. I'm going to say one more thing about my family. Now, this is nothing to do with this room. My great-grandmother got married at, my great-grandma Edcock got married at 14 años, 14. My grandmother got married at 14 años, 14. Do you all know why? Because all of those women had, by age 14, knew how to cook. And when I say cook, remember, we're talking 100 plus years ago. When I say cook, I mean they knew how to kill the chicken, pluck the chicken, boil the chicken, cut the chicken up, fry the chicken. They knew how to sew. They made most of their clothes. Do you understand? These women are 14 years old. They had gone places. We have kids now don't even know how to function in their 20s and 30s. They're not sure who they are. They just kind of, and I'm like, ladies, men, by the way, looking around this room, there's lots of young men that need men to come alongside and offer them what they can offer. All right, we continue. Titus chapter 2, verse 2. That the older men, be sober, brave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. That the aged women, or older women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And then it lists two negatives, not false accusers. Then it also lists this one, not given to much wine. And then it says, teachers of good things. Number three, we've already said, women teach women, men teach. Older teach the younger. Number three, that they teach good things. And what? All right, everyone look at me. So I told you there was going to be one part of the sermon. It is not nice, and it's intentionally nice. Not nice. Friends, we need to step up and smell the coffee. If we have within our group in any fashion, and ladies, you are not stupid. Any woman, or man for the men, I give a list. If you run into older men or women who are gossips, do you know what a gossip is? Or if you run into men or women who are always negative, or they have addictions. By the way, King James translates that not given to much wine. That's a terrible translation. It is the Greek word for slavery. It's saying a person that's enslaved to their addictions. What do you do if you run into a gossip? Oh, by the way, gossip is me diabolos, the Greek word for devil. Look at me in the eyes. You run into a woman who is a gossip. Ladies, this is what you do. Number one, you avoid her. I need an amen. You avoid her. Or whose side are you taking? The devil's side or God's side? This little, it's cute at times. And everybody probably does a little gossip. I'm talking about the perennial gossip. The person that's perennial talking about people. I'm going to go down the list. The gossip, the negative person, the addicted person, that's in, you're enslaved to things. Whether that's, by the way, whether that's alcohol, drugs, women, it's not usually pornography, but it can be. Men, it often is. If it's slavery to any kind of form of anything, gambling, anything like that. He goes on to say, I would say those who are always complaining and griping, talking about people, and here's how you will recognize them. They have no way of ever helping anybody. What do you do with those people? What do I say? What? What? I feel like stepping in front of people in this room, when if you don't know who is negative and a gossip and a critic and always, they sound like a chainsaw. Don't get them any, by the way, don't give them any wood to cut. Now, on the other side, let's go back to the verse, Tom, please. It says teachers of what? What? Older women should be teaching younger women good things. So you spot a young lady here, you have some knowledge or ability. I can think of many women in this room. Can I say this? There are women in this room. Leticia is well known for her sweetness. So is Sonia. By the way, young women need to be around that. Not just you, mother, but there are other ladies. When I came to this church, 1977, there was a man that led the singing. He was an okay singer. Best thing about him was who he was. His name was Don Askew. Don Askew influenced more young men for good, look at me, than the pastor did. Now, he didn't talk about the pastor because of it. Don was just a good man. Just watching, was he a teacher? Don couldn't teach his way out of this room. He had zero ability to teach it. He taught by who he was. He invited this young man. He said, he was a Illinois State Patrolman. He says, in those days, he says, I can do ride-alongs. Would you like to come with me? I spent a couple nights just riding with Don. One time he was building a house. He said, would you like to help? I said, Don, I still remember, I shouldn't tell the story. There was two of us. I won't tell you who the other guy was. He was trying to teach us how to put, not the shingles, but the sheeting on before the shingles. And we're holding it, nailing it, and we were terrible at everything. We're nailing the sheeting on. And Don comes over to finish an area, and the other guy is handing him nails. And Don, and he gets behind Don. So when Don brings up the hammer with the claws, it hits him right in the head. I still remember Don asking, he took that hammer and threw it about. Can I say this? I learned more from Don Askew, which most of you don't even know who he was. But I do. Can I say this? There was an old guy here. Love that old guy. We even kept in contact with him up until pretty much death. They moved to Georgia or someplace. The Lichtenbergers. Just a godly old guy. By the way, I'll say it. George Tupper was one of those guys in this church. Now, unfortunately, Steve doesn't take after him at all, but George was a wonderful guy. I love that guy. I can name another. Dr. Bain. I was a medical guy. talking to Dr. We had medical conversations. I loved it. He worked when the hospital down here used to be called Victory, when it was one of the best hospitals in the North Shore. That's been a long time. 1973, they had a vote on abortion. The medical staff, I never forget his story, because by the way, he was a real deal Christian. He said, we voted on abortion. We voted on things all the time. He said it was the only vote we ever had when we voted on abortion that it required us. Are you listening? If you were against abortion, they had you stand up. Three men stood up. One of them was Dr. Bain. Do you understand the impact that has on a young man for doing right? By the way, we need men to men, women to women. And there's so many of you have so much to offer. It doesn't have to be every day or every week. It's just pouring in. But make sure it's good things. Look at me. If I see you hanging out with the gossip, I think I'm going to start confronting people. Or the chainsaw. Why are you hanging out with people like that? You should be hanging. You got two roles, maybe three. Either you're helping. Look at me. Either you're helping or you're being helped, or it's somewhat neutral. That's fine. We went out last Sunday night. A bunch of us went out and had some food. And I don't know if there's any teaching going on. A lot of lies and jokes and fun stuff. That's fine. But this thing of being around the water dripping. No, no, no. Is that clear? And if you do so, you are deliberately rebelling against God. Take it up with God. I'm done with that stupid. We move on. Number four, the verse. The things that thou hast heard, the things, the teaching that I have taught you. You've heard of me or from me, alongside of me, among many witnesses, probably in church settings. The same commit thou to faithful men, the very same things. 2 Corinthians 1 says, blessed be the God and Father, even of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. Number four, that they teach what they have learned, obviously. Friends, you can only teach what you have learned. You don't have much else to say. I think a lot of people gossip because they don't ever learn anything. They've never grown. They've never matured. The thing that's gotten me from Sunday school, Dave has repeatedly said, we started here and God has brought us in better places. That's not humility. That's reality. That is the testimony of every Christian that God has brought them forward. Tonight, when I preach, short sermon, on Jethro, Exodus 18, Moses' father-in-law, I saw something in the text that I would have been unable to see 20 or 30 years ago. Did you hear me? Unable to see. It's nice to know God has changed you in some good ways where you're seeing things in a text that I just would not have understood in the past. So, number four, that they teach what they have learned. I got in an airport, it was getting ready to get on the plane, lining up. I was by a wall, some wall, and there probably wasn't a place to sit. A couple people there, one of them was a lawyer. It seemed like there were three people. One might have been husband and wife, one might have been a lady. They find out that I'm a pastor. Do you realize people ask you questions? What you going to tell them? And this was their question. And this is the only time I've ever talked to them. They said, if you had one piece of advice for children, what would you tell us? What would you tell them? Religion? I didn't have time to do any more. I said, well, I wish we had a little more time. I could maybe give you a couple of good ideas. I would have given you this good idea. Make sure you talk to your children every day. No, excuse me, wrong language. Talk with your children every day. Communication, yes? I think I would talk to them about mealtime. You ought to have a mealtime with your family. Never allow a child to eat their food in their bedroom or daddy to eat the food in front of the TV while everybody's no. Don't waste those precious moments. I only had time for one. I said, if you give me one thing, this is it. This is the place to start. A happy, consistent bedtime. And I said, and what's good for the children? It's good for you too. Put the toys away. No toys, no phones, no nothing. Go to bed. Go to bed on time. Wake up happy. Wow, that's deep, isn't it? Yes, you teach people what you have learned. I could teach on this by memory, but that's not the point this morning. It's very important that we grab these very simple ideas. That we teach what we have learned. Men, I'll just say this again. So many men in this room have abilities I don't have. I cannot teach any young man plumbing. I can't teach them electrical. I can't teach them anything mechanical. I can't teach them anything like that. But you're here for those reasons. And men, young men won't come to you. Which means what? You're going to have to be intentional to find some young men to mentor. By the way, we have men doing this here too. We don't have enough men because some men are very good at some things and they're not sharing that with people that need to know. Young men won't ask. I would recommend you just grab a couple young men, not physically, get a couple, two or three, and invest in them a little bit. Well, number five. Number five is Titus chapter 2. That they may teach the young women to be sober or to soberly teach them in a way that sobers those young women up. So first of all, they love their husbands. Philandrus. And that's just real simple. Loving your husband. Number five, that they, both the older women with younger women, and they, older men with younger men, may teach the younger about marriage. Where are you going to learn about marriage from? It can't just be your marriage, mom and dads. It ought to be branched out into other relationships so they see how people do things. Let me say this. Dave this morning was talking about he does certain things for his wife. Dave, I appreciate all those things. My wife likes me to do certain things. She does not prefer me to do the cooking. Louis, from my understanding, actually cooks. There's no biblical prescription on this, friend, but somebody has to come alongside and help people with marriage in general. Last Sunday morning, if you were not here, listen to it online. His wife gave her testimony of their early married days and nearly divorcing. And that wasn't the part that got my attention. It was, I think, did your wife come to me, Dave? Or I had probably already talked about this. She went to Mrs. Vasilovich, and Sharon Vasilovich, who had gone through struggles in her own marriage, counseled her, encouraged her, helped her, didn't solve all the problems, but got her on the right road. God's grace and a 2x4 got Dave on the right road. Now, I'm going to say this. While Sharon Vasilovich was helping women like that, we had another woman in this church. Back in many years ago, I found out, and these I'm going to use exact words. A wife and a husband went to their house for a meal. When they got ready for the meal, they asked something like, what would you like to drink? My wife would ask the same question. We have water. I think they had tea, coffee, and then she said, wine. The problem was she meant it. And she knew what kind of a church we are. So she was trying to undermine women while Sharon Vasilovich was trying to help women. Yes, everybody needs somebody to come alongside during marriage. Men need some men to talk about marriage. I appreciate what Dave has said. I want to go to my little, see if you can read this English word. Next. It's not just about, what's that word? Everybody look at me. What's that word? See, this passage is, you're missing the point. If It's not to tell you about marriage. It's to tell you how to be married, how it works, how it, you flesh it out. So it's not just about emotions, but it's how I do it. It's practical. It's day to day. People need that. Everybody needs that. When I was at Oak Forest Baptist Temple, Mrs. Schroeder taught all the women to do this. Ladies, are you listening? Don't ever do this to a man like me. You remember what she taught? You need to tell your husband how wonderful he is, how handsome he is. You're looking. If you do that with me, first thing I'm going to ask is, what do you want? I'm a country boy. I don't need anybody. That gross to me. Now, some men need that. Some men need their wife to come to the husband and rub their bald head and say, I think you're getting more hair. No. But every woman needs to know how to be married. And where do you learn that from? From Christian women. Now, if you have a family like my mom, you got it at church, but you got a lot of it from all these Christian women and men. By the way, there just weren't women in my family. I would tell you this, of those people you saw, all of them, far as I knew, were Christian people, with the exception of one of the brothers, maybe not. Uncle Lawrence was a great Christian man. I knew him well. He lived the longest. It's not just emotions. It's how to do it. It's practical. It's day to day. Mrs. Schroeder talked about complimenting your husband. I want to say this. Everybody, this is Ralph Warren. Got me? You want to compliment me? Talk about my ideas with me. Then you got my attention. Amy, if you don't talk about ideas, I'm not interested. Please don't tell me I'm getting handsome. Because number one, I can see. And number two, I do look in the mirror occasionally. And number three, you're lying, and that doesn't make me feel good. But if you talk, by the way, every man in here needs a woman that can come alongside him and talk to him about what's important to him. And that's going to be a little different man to man. It is. I'm an idea person. I know that. Ladies, I'll speak to you. Guys are clueless. Came home yesterday. Our neighbor, I greeted him. I said, hey, you got your wife some flowers? He said, I don't believe in that. Look at me in the eyes. I don't care what you believe in. Does your wife like flowers? Believe. Shut up that stupidity. If she can deal with chocolate, do chocolate. If she likes notes, or my wife would die of a heart attack. She would already be in heaven if I wrote her a note. And please don't write me notes. That again is no. She likes me to call her. She likes me to text her. She likes to know where I'm at. And I am not as orderly as she is in those areas. I'm a little more random. I want to say this to everybody. The guy you're looking at, we normally go on dates once to twice a week. Now, take a breath. That's a very limited date. We're not spending $100,000. We're not buying steak that costs $250 a steak. Where did we go? Oh, we went to the Point, and she had some crepes. No, excuse me, crepes. And they were pretty good crepes, by the way. Linda, that was for you, by the way. I know how to say it more or less in English. She had some, by the way, we enjoyed ourselves. We went out. I got her flowers. I'm going to say this to you. We go on a vacation. Do you know why we go on a vacation? Because I think we do better when we are alone sometimes. You say, what about the children? You know, we're a certain, I don't care about your ethnicity. Drop that stupid at the door. You need to be spending time with your spouse. Men are clueless. My wife likes going on a date. I had a guy that was in this church, United States Navy. He worked for the Navy. He worked in some kind of a thing where he traveled for the Navy. I don't know what he did exactly. It was legitimate what he did. He had a cell phone, and when he went out of town, he turned the cell phone off and didn't contact his wife the whole time. I consider that an abomination. My goodness. Can I say this? I'm never anyplace my wife doesn't know or my nosy daughter. I mean, where you go? Where are you doing? You turn your phone off? So you, what? He would say, well, no. He was doing wrong. Well, we look at the last concept. It also says this, that they teach the younger about children. That's the last point, Titus 2, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, or soberly teach them in a way that wakes them up to love their husbands, to love their children. And friend, I'm not talking about emotional. I just love my baby. No, how to be a mother, how to be a father, how to actually rear them. You know, this idea that you take a baby that's dependent on you, they grow up to be independent, then they can become interdependent. They don't start out, you know, you don't want a baby that's dependent on you, and you never let them make a choice. And at 18 years old, it's like, there you go. No. You're rearing these children to be an adult. That's the whole point. By the way, we need to know how to do that. Ephesians 6, 4. And you fathers, provoke them not. Provoke not your children to wrath, which I'm assuming means fathers can provoke their children to wrath because fathers tend to be clueless, which means older fathers need to help. But instead, bring them up in the nurture. Nurture is just parenting, the nurture and the admonition, proper application and warning of the scriptures. Colossians says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Friends, that they teach the younger ones about children, rearing children. Everyone look at me. Pastor Warren's going to give you my first bit of advice. Everybody? Dave, I don't know if you'll do this. Parenting, first step. You're the adult. Act like it. Number two, a magic word. What's the magic word? No. First to yourself and then to your children. If you cannot say no to your children, by the way, by the time they're 2, 3, or 4, the no is an absolute thing. This isn't rocket science, folks. Haven't you been listening through the years? I find parents that don't even know how to, man. Now, you saw all those women. If I had misbehaved at a family gathering, I didn't have to see mom or dad. Any one of them or all of them. I can say this. There were people I feared more than my mother. My great-grandma Adcock was like Jesus incarnate. If you would have misbehaved her, you would have been dead. By the way, where did we learn that from? The whole package. Woman to woman, man to man. Now, friends, we're done. Show the picture again, Tom. You are going to decide what you are going to do. And there are women and men in this room that you have matured. You have a lot to offer. You say, I'm not good here. You don't have to be good every place. Wherever you're good at, invest, bring some young men if you're a man. Please don't do none of that nonsense. None. Zero of that. Guys, don't hang out with young girls. And girl, you know, young men, don't hang out with women. I'm talking about grab a couple young men, invest in them a little bit. And by the way, and the blessings that you grew up with can flow down the road. That's what we're looking for. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time. A lot more to say, but I think we got an introduction. Woman to woman, man to man. Women teaching women, men teaching men. Older teaching the younger. Only teaching good things. Teaching what we have actually learned. Teaching how to love our spouse. Teaching how to love our children. Not to love them, but how to love them. What that means. Father, the things that we could do at Lake County, there's no end to the good. May it be so. In Christ's name, amen.